Time to pull up a chair and talk some Dynasty football. I am your host, JJ Wenner, and this is the Rider Dynasty podcast presented by Gridiron Ratings. Tonight, we tackle the latest Dynasty ADP, providing you with the values and busts for every round for your next Dynasty startup. Joining me is the content director at Gridiron Ratings, the one, the only Dynasty dork, Dave Heilman. How are you doing, sir?
Doing wonderful. Excited to go through this exercise. The ADP takes shape many forms during the offseason, but right now it's starting to really settle in.
And getting us ready to tackle this, joining us, I mean, our special guest really needs no introduction, but I'm going to give you one anyway. He's a writer for FTN Fantasy, gambling podcast, Yards Per. He's the co-host of the Fantasy Football Playmakers podcast. You can find him on Twitter at PopesFFH. Jeremy Poplars, how are you doing, sir?
That's a great, great, great introduction. So I'm doing swell. You know, I'm doing well. It's not snowing in Buffalo, so that's a plus. You know, it's spring here, so we're always happy, rain or shine. So, but yeah, I'm excited to talk some Dynasty ADP. You know, I haven't done too many startups, but I did do a couple recently. So kind of was really entrenched in this just because, you know, I've done a couple because told myself I wasn't going to join more and I fell for it yet again.
It's like the mafia keeps dragging you back in.
Yeah, I try to leave and they're like, nope, you're back.
It's not going to happen. Well, now I know you are a hockey fan, so I must ask, do you own a Miroslav Satan jersey? Because I was a huge, like, Flyers fan in the late 90s, early 2000s, and I always wanted that Sabre jersey.
I don't. I have a Jay McKee one, though, signed. Daniel Briere from that time. I got a red one. Yeah, but no, I don't. Those were good times. I was in high school, and those were good times. You know, grew up playing hockey, and, you know, they were good at that time, and now they're just kind of like, meh. Really ruined it, you know, but
I remember those battles, man. I was a big fan in my early to mid 20s and then faded away. But
yeah, you know, I love hockey so much. And like, you can put a playoff game on right now and I'm like back into it hardcore, but it's just like doing so much with this, with fantasy football and just, I mean, Dynasty, I'm on this like 24/7. So it's hard to really keep up, but luckily my father-in-law is still entrenched in it. So whenever I'm over there, you know, he catches me up on everything. So.
And listen, that's a lot of games to follow. It's a lot of games a year. Not as bad as baseball, but a lot more than the 17 we deal with. But before we jump into this episode, please do all of the typical YouTube podcast things. Like, subscribe, follow, leave a comment. It helps us grow and provide you with the content you are looking for. Gentlemen, let's look at the news. Jeremy, Curtis Samuel has said, and I quote, "I feel good. I feel fast." Injuries derailed the Commanders' wide receiver 2021 season, but people are holding out a little bit of hope. Are we sleeping on a healthy Curtis Samuel?
I don't necessarily think so. Maybe a flex player at best. I just think there's some other pieces that they now added to that offense that aren't like right home about, but I mean, Jahan Dotson's a pretty good player out of Penn State. I mean, I know he's going to be a rookie, but that's someone who's going to garnish targets. I mean, Diami Brown looked decent last year. Terry McLaurin's still there. Logan Thomas, Antonio Gibson, J.D. McKissick. I mean, the list goes on, and Samuel really found his hay, I think, in Carolina there those last couple of years as kind of a gadget guy out of the backfield and kind of running those little things that they almost use J.D. McKissick or Antonio Gibson for. So, I mean, I'm sure they could use them. There's not a lot of volume there in an offense that's not super high powerful. So, and you know, I feel fast every other day. It doesn't mean that I'm fast. So
you feel fast?
Yeah, sometimes.
Good for you.
But for me.
Oh,
yeah. I guess I felt fast. Probably not. Let's not get ahead of myself here, but
yes, in the corporate world, we might call Curtis Samuel redundant. It seems like everything he does well, somebody else might do a little bit better on that team now. But Dave, Zach Kiefer quoted Frank Reich saying, "If I was a fantasy owner, I'd consider drafting Nyheim Hines." Well, Dave, you are a fantasy manager. Are you considering drafting Nyheim Hines?
Yeah. I mean, we're going to go through the ADP. We're going to see how cheap he is. you know, there's a big difference in the targets and the usage going back to Phillip Rivers versus Carson Wentz. And you're going to see more of that with Matt Ryan. So, you know, I'm not saying I'm going to be drafting him in the first six rounds, but where he's going, he's worth a stab. And the trade market, he's super cheap. Maybe this headline might change a little bit, but he's still going to be super cheap.
Put your offers out quick before the headline spreads. Gentlemen, let's get right to it. We are going to take a look at the ADP round by round, according to RT Sports. We are each going to then say who we're too high on, who's too low, and any other observations that we might have so that you can garner the information you need to know of when you need to reach and when you can sit back to grab the players that you want. So what better place to start than with the first round ADP? Now, Jeremy, looking at this, we have Jonathan Taylor followed by Ja'Marr Chase, Najee Harris, Justin Jefferson, Javonte Williams, Cooper Kupp, DeAndre Swift, Christian McCaffrey, Austin Eckler, Kyle Pitts, CeeDee Lamb, and Josh Allen. What are we thinking? Who is too high on this list for you?
I know it's going to sound crazy as he darns my wall over my, what is that, right shoulder. But Javonte Williams is definitely a little too high. I mean, in Dynasty, I can kind of see it, but I just still feel coming off as RB3 is a little high for a guy that's going to see probably 50% of a workload again. Melvin Gordon is up there in age, but they rebrought him in. Nathaniel Hackett's been notorious for a multi-back type of backfield. If anything, Javonte's probably going to get 60, 40%, and you're paying a full workhorse load for a guy that's not going to get it for at least another year. And then who says that they don't bring another guy in next year in another talented class or somebody in free agency? What they're doing is speaking to me that they like Javonte Williams. They think he's talented, but I just don't see that workhorse load that everybody's hoping he's going to get. I don't know if he gets that. So where he's getting drafted, he's just getting drafted way too high, in my opinion. I think that his ceiling is obviously a running back one, but I think he's going to be in that lower section. I don't think he's going to get up into with these guys with the Taylors and the Najee Harrises or the Christian McCaffreys, the guys who kind of have that stranglehold on their backfield, like a guy that would be even, you know, like Austin Eckler even, you know, like, I mean, I know they brought Spiller in, but these guys have a stranglehold on that backfield and kind of see a 90% of their workload. So I just don't see him getting that. So I just think people are overdrafting him a touch.
Dave, who do you think is too high?
Jeremy, close your ears. Josh Allen. This is not super flex, so I'm not considering a quarterback this early. I love Josh Allen. Absolutely love Josh Allen, but I'm not taking him here. I feel like you're going to set your franchise back if you're using your first-round pick in a dynasty league on a – you know, on a quarterback. I love Superflex, and I hate how the one quarterback leagues devalue the quarterback. But in this case, it's one quarterback, so Josh Allen's too high for me.
I like both of your choices. I can't necessarily disagree with any of them. I think Austin Eckler might be a little bit too high. I like Eckler. But I don't know if I'm comfortable taking a 27-year-old running back in the first, especially in a dynasty startup. The upside's there. I know it, right? He has less than 1,000 career touches. But I'm always concerned about age when it comes to running backs and what the GMs are looking to do. Are they looking to get younger? Are they going to keep him around? I don't know. I think Eckler can put up some numbers, but I think I might be more comfortable waiting until the second round, but that's just me. I'm not going to argue with Austin Eckler there. I mean, he had an amazing year last year. So,
and yeah, that running back cliff is like, is legit true. Like if you like look up some of the statistics on people that actually did more work than I have on it, like there's legit concern for anybody who hits that 27, 28 range for running backs. Like they literally fall off aside from some few greats, and even at that point they're not RB1s. You know, they're putting up some fantasy points, but they're not like not what Eckler did last year. You know, I mean, he might again this year. I mean, he's still 27, like you said, limited touches, but I could get behind Eckler being a little high.
Well, who's too low, Dave?
CeeDee Lamb. You're looking at all these running backs. I get it. People are going to go after running backs. They dry up pretty quick, and receivers are, you know, pretty deep. But, you know, when it comes down to it, he should be he's closer to Justin Jefferson than he is with these other guys. And to get him after all of those 26 plus running backs, I'm down for that. So CeeDee Lamb, I think he's going to be the center of that offense. Yet Zeke is getting older. You got Michael Gallup coming back off of an ACL injury. Tolbert, you know, he looks great, but he's, you know, he's unproven. The offense is going to run through him. So I think 11 is too low.
He grew an inch. Yeah, I agree. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jeremy.
He grew an inch too. Did you see that report?
Well,
he's only
an inch. What kind of BS is that? I don't know. Millionaire and still growing.
Yeah, he said he grew an inch and he gained 10 pounds of muscle. So, you know, he's doing something.
Spinach.
Must be.
I also went with CeeDee Lamb, Dave. I mean, the first can't be too low technically for anyone, right? Because we're in the first, but I would take CeeDee right in that area you said. Definitely ahead of Cup, definitely ahead of Javonte Williams. I love his upside. I love that he's connected to a youngish quarterback-wise, you know, with Dak for the foreseeable future. So, mm-hmm. I definitely think he's too low. What about you, Jeremy? Who did you pick as your too low?
All right. I'm going to start this fun little new campaign this offseason for the fact that running backs should start to be devalued a touch. So here's where I'm at. I think Josh Allen's a little bit too low, and this is why. The last 2 years, Josh Allen was overall PPR scoring. 2020, he was one. 2022, or 21, he was two. So that's including everybody. The only person who beat him last year was Cooper Kupp on a historic year. Other than that, he was 30 points ahead of Justin Herbert, who was second. The closest running back was 33 points away as well. Yeah, 33 points away as well in Jonathan Taylor. So I understand it's not super flex, and I understand that quarterbacks get devalued. But a top-tier quarterback, I mean, top four, three of the top five point-getters last year in PPR were quarterbacks. So at some point, I think we have to start to realize that quarterbacks actually are pretty valuable in one quarterback league still. I don't think he's like absurdly too low. I mean, he's still in the first, and that's probably pretty close. But like, I mean, he's scoring more points than Austin Eckler, Christian McCaffrey, Swift, CeeDee Lamb. I mean, all these guys. And I don't know. I just feel like he could probably go ahead of some of these guys. You know, Austin Eckler, Kyle Pitts. Like, if it's a tight end premium, I don't know. Maybe he's a little bit – Pitts could be a little bit higher. But I just feel like the quarterback position is starting to get so powerful for fantasy points that it's almost like these quarterbacks in one quarterback leagues, I think you're going to start to see them kind of reach up into a little bit higher rounds than what we are so used to.
Definitely something to keep an eye on. I know even J.J. Zacharyson has been talking you know, about the move to not necessarily late round but mid-tier, right? Getting those quarterbacks in the mid rounds where you can get a lot more value, because you really do want one of those top 12 QBs, or you could be left some ugly stuff down there at the bottom. it gets ugly fast. Well, let's take a look at round two. Round two, we see Dalvin Cook, Joe Mixon, Deebo Samuel, Breece Hall, Stephon Diggs, and Mark Andrews, followed by Devontae Adams, AJ Brown, Jalen Waddle, Cam Akers, Dobbins and Justin Herbert.
Plug and play running backs at times. And I'm not going to say that that's what they're going to do with Breece Hall, because Breece Hall is a very good talent. He kind of can play all three downs. But we even saw it last year with Michael Carter coming in. They still used Ty Johnson. They still tried out LaMichael Perine. They still tried Tevin Coleman, and they rotated through these guys. So I worry that Breece Hall isn't going to end up with a huge workhorse load. And obviously this is Dynasty, so you're kind of playing the long run. But he also isn't really better than like Cam Akers, J.K. Dobbins. You know, some of these guys have better ceilings. I know they're both those two are coming off an injury, but talent wise and prospect wise, I mean, he was close to them, but like he was the best of this year, but I still almost would put him behind a couple of these guys that are after him just on a pure talent level. And then now you toss in that situation of, I mean, they still have a decent running back in Michael Carter who's there. So I'm just not sold on him being this high. Like you're paying a lot for a guy that you don't know anything about right now. that, yeah, okay, he looked good in college, but we've seen plenty of players come out of college who look elite and great and just never pan out in the NFL. So it's hard to pay this price for him, I think, just because like there's guys after him that I would definitely rather have in the second, third, fourth round.
Interesting. Dave, who's too high?
Davante Adams. So I feel like people are paying for the Green Bay Packers. Davante Adams, he'll be 30 this December, and Davante Adams is not going to get 170 targets that he gets when he's in Green Bay. He's no longer the only show in town. And, you know, he's also doesn't have Aaron Rodgers. Derek Carr is a solid quarterback, but he's not Aaron Rodgers. And like I said, you're going to see a dip in efficiency. You're also going to see a dip in volume. And so to take him at 19, at almost 30 years old, over all of these, you know, 21, 22, 23, 24-year-olds is just that's too rich for me. So for that reason, I'm out.
Yeah, personally, I think Justin Herbert's too high. It's going back to what you said about Josh Allen in the first, Dave. I mean, I like Herbert. I like him a lot, but it's not super flex. So I don't know. I think I would just slow down a little bit. I'm also a little bit nervous about Mark Andrews, especially this isn't a tight end premium league, right? This is a simple one QB dynasty league. When you look at Mark Andrews' splits with and without Lamar, there is a little bit of concern. He does discernibly better without Lamar. I don't know if I would take Mark Andrews this early. I don't know. That's just where I am. But who is too low on this list, Dave?
Speaking of the Ravens, I have J.K. Dobbins here. I really do think the Ravens go back to this ground and pound game. Last year, out of necessity, they had to pass the ball. Every single one of their running backs was hurt. And then they had, they had a bad defense with Marcus Peters going down the same day that Gus Edwards went down. So they're going to go back to it. They already announced it whenever they drafted a center in the first round this year. So I'm all about J.K. Dobbins, and he gets a full year off of that ACL. It's not like he tore his ACL in December. He tore it in the offseason. He's going to be ready to go. So I'm excited. I think J.K. Dobbins has a great year.
Jeremy, you were nodding your head. Who do you think is too low?
Dave just reads my mind. That's all. That's why we're friends, you know.
J.K. Dobbins as well. I think that a lot of people are saying, I understand there's a lot of numbers out there that prove that running backs off ACLs year one aren't great. But we're talking about a guy that had 6 yards per attempt as a rookie. We saw a guy that was all of a sudden took over a lot of the goal line touches down the stretch as a rookie. He also scored a lot of touchdowns. They used him out of the like a jet sweep type formation out of the slot while having Gus Edwards in the backfield. Well, teams have to account for Lamar as well on a bootleg out of situations like that. And I think J.K. Dobbins is a big hurt to Mark Andrews, how you mentioned earlier. You know, Andrews saw a lot of targets in the red zone. He always has. But when you get these guys out on there, there's more talent now. You know, you have Bateman on the outside. You have Dobbins. You have these guys that kind of are going to be more susceptible to the run game or even just that purely – a better target share than Andrew. So I get the concern there too, but I think J.K. Dobbins should be a lot higher. I think a lot of people are sleeping on him, especially having Cam Akers over J.K. Dobbins. In my opinion, Dobbins was a better prospect coming out. A lot of people had him ranked higher. An easier injury, I think, to return from is an ACL than an Achilles injury. I know Akers came back and everybody's like, oh, he looked good in the playoffs. Like, I mean, he didn't look great. I mean, he was okay, you know, but like, I still have concern. I think he's going to be okay, but he's not going to have that same explosiveness he had. So I just feel like Dobbins should be closer to Mixon. I'd flip Breece Hall and J.K. Dobbins, and I think I'd feel a little bit better if those two were flipped.
Yep.
Well, I can't disagree. I have a colleague who has been talking a lot about manifesting, so saying things that you want to happen so that they do happen.
If that happens, so, everybody should draft J.K. Dobbins because I've been speaking like RB1 talk here. So just saying.
Well, I am manifesting Breece Hall, and I'm going to say he's too low because he's going to be a top five running back. I don't think it's going to happen, but I'm trying to manifest that into happening because I'm a Jets fan. So I'll take one for the team on that one. And Come on, guys.
I'd like it. I have a couple shares of them. I'll take it.
You can do it. All right, let's take a look at round three. Round three, we start seeing some familiar names from years past. Alvin Kamara, Tyreek Hill, Nick Chubb, Travis Kelce, Derrick Henry, Pat Mahomes, T. Higgins, Antonio Gibson, Saquon Barkley, Kenneth Walker, DK Metcalf, and Travis Etienne. Dave, who's too high?
DK Metcalf. And I know it's not as high as he's been in the past, but I have my concerns about DK Metcalf and his ability to be a consistent producer. Even with Russell Wilson, we definitely saw a dip in his performance. And there's just a lot of great young receivers that are attached to good offenses and good quarterbacks. So I would rather take them over DK Metcalf. Third round is not crazy, but there's a lot of great receivers we're going to see when we flip over to the next chart, and I'd rather them over DK Metcalf.
Yeah, I can't disagree with you on that. Jeremy, too high?
Too high. I have Tyreek Hill. I know he's proven he's done a lot of good things in Kansas City, tied with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, two great talents in both of their aspects of the game. But to me, Tyreek Hill's 28. He's going to be kind of cresting towards that 29 halfway through the season on a team with Miami that has kind of proven that they aren't the best team. I know it's a new head coach, but what's that offense going to look like? They have a younger Jalen Waddle there who's very similar to Tyreek Hill's game and mode that's already had a full season with Tua on top of college career with Tua. And what are they going to do with Tyreek Hill? So I worry that we're going to see some regression. I think that after that, okay, so say he gets 1 year, he's going to be 29 going on 30. On a speed guy, that 30 mark is a very scary number for wide receivers. So even here, like a DK Metcalf, someone younger is a better option, I feel like, here, unless you're trying to win in the first couple of years of the dynasty. But like T. Higgins, I'd rather have T. Higgins than Tyreek Hill, in this situation, just on this screen. So that's where I'm at.
Yeah, and for me, I went with the same team as Dave. I'm not a big fan of DK, but Kenneth Walker in the third seems a little bit high for me. I'm not sure what that offense is going to look like. They might be one of the worst offenses in the league based on Drew Lock and Geno Smith being your quarterbacks. So I don't know how strong I feel. I think this goes back to what Jeremy was saying about Breece Hall. I mean, Kenneth Walker was the second running back in this class, but it was a weaker class. So I question a little bit what workload he is going to get and if he belongs this high this soon without us seeing what he can do. Jeremy, who is too low on this list?
I'm going to go with a guy that we haven't seen in the NFL again yet. So it's going to be kind of contradictory of what I said about Breece Hall. But Travis Etienne, I think, is a little low at the moment, just purely from everything that it's all shaping up. Like, Jacksonville improved their offense a little bit. They got a lot more playmakers for Trevor Lawrence, as well as just the offense in general. Etienne coming off of over a full year worth of recovery from a Lisfranc injury. And he's got his competition is Snoop Connor, not overly exciting out of Ole Miss, kind of a power back, doesn't really have much speed to his game. Also, James Robinson, who is coming off an Achilles injury, which happened later in the year. So at the moment, week one, it looks like Travis Etienne might be getting every single touch out of that backfield, if not 80% of them. And you're going to get him in the third round and a workhorse type of old. Like, this could be Najee Harris of last year, where he's getting peppered with opportunities. It could be a David Montgomery situation where they're just giving him the ball and he's getting all these touches. On top of that, Trevor Lawrence and him are like best friends. So out of Clemson, at least that's the storyline they like to sell us. So dump off stuff like that. I mean, I think he's pretty low in comparison. Third round, you might be getting a 200, 300 touch type player. So
absolutely, especially being behind Kenneth Walker. That's ridiculous. And Etienne did have one of the great comments of the offseason when he said that he picked a good year to miss in Jacksonville. I was like, spot on, my friend, spot on. Dave, who do you think is too low on this list.
I agree with my buddy Jeremy there, Travis Etienne. I will say I struggled a bit with this group just because I feel like a lot of people are adequately ranked. But with Etienne, I really wanted to just touch base on him. I mean, people got rookie fever. You could trade him for maybe a late first, if not, like, if maybe a mid first. But really, like, people are just sleeping on Etienne because they're worried about the injury and they haven't seen it. I know I agree with the Doug Peterson concerns. I have those as well. But at the end of the third round, you get a young, very talented running back with high draft capital. I think he's going to be a good fit there.
And an established connection to his quarterback. So it's not like they're rebuilding chemistry or
not 100%.
I think Nick Chubb is a little too low. I'm a fan of Chubb. He's amazing at every metric. And they got a new QB. Now, I don't know how long that new QB is going to be playing or when he's going to start playing. But you got to think that Watson will elevate that offense, which can only help, right? It can only help Nick Chubb. So I still think Chubb has a few good years left in him. So I think Chubb could definitely go a little bit earlier
than where Chubb is. It's the age, too. You know, like, he is, I think, what is he? He's 27 going into this year. So, like, he's on that cusp as well. But I agree. I mean, FTN posted a thing today. Like, I mean, loaded box, which is like 8+ defenders, I think 5.8 yards a carry from Nick Chubb. You know, like, now add in Watson, and they actually have a threat in the passing game much more than Baker Mayfield that can stretch the field, stuff like that. Like, that box opens up. I can only imagine what Nick Chubb's going to do.
Manifest it. Let's manifest it. All right. Fourth round, ADP. We have David Montgomery, George Kittle, Deontay Johnson, Leonard Fournette, Josh Jacobs, and Joe Burrow, followed by Michael Pittman Jr., Terry McLaurin, Lamar Jackson, DJ Moore, AJ Dillon, and James Connor. Jeremy, who's too high?
I'm going to go with Leonard Fournette. I anticipate a slight decline from Leonard Fournette this year. I think that Tampa Bay drafted Rashad White for a reason, and that's to take over the passing down work, kind of be a little bit bigger of that James White role that Tom Brady was so used to in New England. They tried to replace it last year with Giovanni Bernard. They've tried it with Ronald Jones. They've tried it with everybody. They've tried to kind of mold in a second running back into that offense. They just never panned out. And Leonard Fournette has improved, but he also still, he's up near the top in drops as far as they go in the percentage base, not just like number wise. So he's still not the best receiving back. He also has never been that exciting as a running back. You know, he's a power back, but like, his yards per carry is not great. He doesn't like scream this elite back that they paid for him. And I mean, he's done well in the last couple of years, but just again, another guy cresting that age gap and that age decline where it starts to happen. And you have a young, talented running back who can kind of do everything, breathing down his neck. That's better, I think, than Ronald Jones or Keyshawn Vaughn. So I'm anticipating kind of a decline. You're paying a lot for a guy that you used to get in the sixth round like a year or two ago.
Dave, who do you think is too high?
Josh Jacobs. You know, for me, we've always hated the New England backfield, and now it's disguised in black and silver. It is going to be the New England backfield, and Josh Jacobs is going to be a part of that. They did not pick up his fifth-year option, which is a sign he could possibly be moving on, or they just don't have as much confidence in him. So there's some unknown there. Could be good, could be bad. But I feel like he's here because you can see that, you know, there's kind of a teardrop with the running backs, and people are reaching for him out of necessity. But I would definitely take everybody on the right side of the screen over Josh Jacobs.
Interesting. I think, in my opinion, person who's too high is James Conner. I think his TD number is going to crash back down to earth. And we also saw a full healthy season from James Conner, something that he's not really well known for putting up. I'm staying away from James Conner. I'm not a fan. Now, Dave, I know you are. So I don't want to cross any lines, but I am not a fan of James Conner in the fourth round. Am I absolutely wrong?
Oh, no. I mean, James Conner, I get my running backs early. I'm not going to rely on James Conner to be my number two running back. If I picked him up here, maybe he's my third running back off the board. But, yeah, if you're relying on James Conner to be your RB1, RB2, that's pretty scary. And then, yeah, for everything that you just laid out, I mean, he's a sell-high candidate, that's for sure.
So yeah, who's
adding talent behind him, too? Darrell Williams signed. They drafted Kootenai Ingram. Like, there's concern from the coaching staff as well, you know, that they need to have some type. Well, obviously, every team wants depth at a position, so I shouldn't really say that totally out of not knowing, not talking to Cliff Kingsbury. But, you know, like, there's people behind him who can kind of push him a little bit. So if there's an injury that happens or he starts to falter, you know, Darrell Williams has proven he can step in, and Ingram is kind of a decent prospect. So,
yeah, I like James Conner, and I like the fact that I've got him when he was a free agent, whenever Le'Veon Bell was holding out. And so I didn't have to pay a lot. But in my startups and things like that, I'm not paying a whole bunch. I'm a fan of James Conner, but I'm not going to pay, you know, top four rounds draft capital.
All right. Good. Glad to hear that. Glad I'm not crazy in that way. So I guess we should say this all together. Who are we too low on? One, two, three.
Michael Pittman Jr.
Yeah, there we go. All right. Go ahead, Dave. Why is he too low?
Well, Michael Pittman Jr. gets a quarterback upgrade and coming off of a great season. They brought in Alec Pierce, who's a good receiver. I think they probably could have brought in a bigger threat than that. They still could bring someone in. There's some guys, you know, some talks about Odell Beckham, some talks about Will Fuller being potentially going over there. But it's going to be it's going to be a good offense, and he's going to be the number one receiver. I think, you know, you look at wide receiver one metrics, targets is the number one thing that you're going to want to look for. And you want to say, hey, is this guy going to get 140 targets? And you look at the guys on you know, the potential wide receiver ones, there is definitely an easy path for him to get 140 targets. And, you know, I think it's going to be a good year for Michael Pittman, and he's young.
I agree with everything. He was my pick too. Jeremy, anything to add about Michael Pittman?
I'm just going to say their new quarterback used to have a very fun friend around the same height and weight as Michael Pittman. I'm not going to say he's going to be that good, but, you know, Matt Ryan does like a tall, built wide receiver. So,
yeah, he likes him tall, dark, and handsome.
Yeah. So,
there we go.
I'm just saying, no, yeah, I agree with everything Dave pretty much said. And a more statistical side of it other than that. But, yeah, I like Michael Pittman. I think that he's a clear shot for that 100-plus target range on an offense that is going to be predicated off of pretty much what we saw last year. You know, when Matt Ryan can still play, I think a lot of talk is against Matt Ryan. But, I mean, we have to remember that Atlanta offensive line was pretty bad last year. So he goes behind a really good line. Jonathan Taylor taking some pressure off, being able to take a couple shots. I think that Michael Pittman should be a little bit higher for everybody.
Yeah, and they definitely skewed more towards the run last year, I think, because of Carson Wentz showing what Carson Wentz was early on in that season, and they realized that they needed to ride Taylor hard in the run game. I think with Matt Ryan in town, we're going to see a shift back to a good passing attack, and that's only going to make Pittman shine. Debbie Dirtbag just chimed in saying that Pittman is underrated. Not on this pod, my friend. Not on this pod.
A guy you should be buyer beware as well. I didn't put him as my too low, but DJ Moore is a little bit concerning. I'm just going to say it. Jeff Bell got me onto that one a little bit today when he started posting about it. You know, I started something in my brain, but just going to say it.
Planting a seed. Let's see what ferments. Next slide, gentlemen. Fifth round. We have Kyler Murray, Zeke, Chris Godwin, Darnell Mooney, Drake London, Aaron Jones, followed by Darren Waller, Elijah Mitchell, Treylon Burks, Garrett Wilson, Amari Cooper, and Keenan Allen. Rookies galore in this round. Who is too high, Jeremy?
I'm going to go with Darren Waller. I like Darren Waller. I know the tight end position is a little bit scarce, and last year we kind of saw him miss some injuries. But with that injury, we saw Hunter Renfrow really kind of break out of his shell. and show what he can be and what his abilities are in the separation game and the short yardage game, something that he can, Derek Carr can get the ball out quick and fast to. And that's a predicated New England offense. And Josh McDaniels now at the helm there in the Raiders, like David mentioned earlier, he's probably going to be favored. On top of that, you do have a new guy in town that's much more alpha in Davante Adams. And I think they're going to try and feed Davante Adams. They didn't go out and trade for him to be like, oh, well, we'll give you 50, 60, 70 targets. You know, they're going to want to get him to 100. I mean, he's not going to get over that, but these targets are going to go somewhere. And they're still going to run the ball. They're still going to use Josh Jacobs. They drafted Zamir White. Like, they're still going to be running game involved. So for me, Darren Waller, the targets are slowly diminishing. So I just feel like you're not going to get your return here in the fifth round out of a guy that is nearing 30 on a team that isn't a heavy passing offense. So a little high for me.
Dave, who do you think is too high?
Keenan Allen. You know, I like Keenan Allen. I've always liked Keenan Allen, but he's 30 years old. So take him in the top 60 picks of your dynasty. It's rich. And you know, he's only going to decline in value. So, it's a depreciating asset. And at this price, it's just too much. A little bit later, I'll gladly take him. But not with one of my first five picks.
Yeah. For me, I'm a little bit in a quandary. Aaron Jones is going in this round. We saw AJ Dillon go in the fourth. I think one of those has to be wrong. I don't think you're going to find value in both running backs. So if I have to choose, I'm going for the 24-year-old rather than the 28-year-old. So I think Aaron Jones might be going a little bit too early, especially in a split backfield as it was last year. Who is too low on this list, Dave?
You just said him. So Aaron Jones. I like Aaron Jones here. And I get it. You know, he's an older running back, but you see his splits when Davante Adams is out of town. And even if I only get Aaron Jones for 2 years, it's going to be a great 2 years. They have not added anything. You saw the golfing going on. They did a little thing where everyone got to hit the ball towards their best receiver, and Aaron Rodgers had Alan Lazard. So Aaron Jones is the best receiver on that team. And he is, you know, you're going to see him and AJ Dillon. I think you could see both of them have some good games this year. At the end of the season, if they both play all 16, they could both be top 24 running backs. They haven't added enough to the receiver room to make me afraid. And Aaron Jones in the fifth, I'll take him over Ezekiel Elliott and a couple of the other guys. That's why I put him here. Just because there's a couple guys that I would just much rather Aaron Jones. I think he's easily going to be a top 10 running back this year.
Jeremy.
So, quick question.
Aaron Jones or James Conner?
Aaron Jones.
Okay.
I agree. I was just curious, you know, because that ADP swip, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Exactly why I put my answer the way it was. You know, when it comes down to it, again, you're really not trying to invest a lot in Aaron Jones, but when it comes to that, you look at the table and say, you want Ezekiel Elliott, James Conner, Aaron Jones, give me Jones.
Who's too low, Jeremy?
I went with Chris Godwin. I think Chris Godwin should be a little bit higher, fourth, third round. I mean, I know he's getting up in age. He's coming off an ACL, but he did get a good contract already from Tampa Bay. And we saw him last year again, kind of just take over that target hog role in Tampa Bay. Tom Brady loved him. I know Brady's going to be out of there, but at some point he's proven it, you know, even with Jameis Winston. He was a big target guy. He had one of his best fantasy seasons with Jameis Winston. So I'm not worried about any quarterback switch. Mike Evans is getting up in age. I mean, Godwin is too, but Godwin will be there a little bit longer, I think. And I just, as possibly the lead guy in Tampa Bay and a decent offense, I mean, I know he's going to miss part of this year, but I think that Godwin should definitely be higher. He's a bona fide wide receiver one, and you're getting him in the fifth round. So
can't argue with that. Dave.
Aaron Jones.
Oh, I already went to you first. I'm sorry. That's my fault. I am a perennial lover of this player, much to my chagrin at times. I think Zeke's too low. Dallas invested in that offensive line. He was hurt for most of last year and still put up 10 touchdowns. I think it's going to be a prolific offense. And unless CeeDee Lamb scores all the TDs, Zeke's getting all the goal line work. So I think a healthy Zeke behind a revamped offensive line could be a sneaky pick in the fifth round. But I do acknowledge that the age, thinking along what you said, Dave, if I could get two more years out of Zeke, though, I might try that.
Jeremy? In Dynasty, and I mean, even startups, you know, I try to target that 2-3 year window still. You know, I'm not looking like, oh, I'm going to go draft Kenneth Walker because I'm going to be good in 6 years, you know, or I'm going to go grab, you know, Treylon Burks here because I don't want to be good for 4 years. Like, I don't love that. I know some people go with like that old model of like the 1 year tank and then you have a good roster, but like, I'm still trying to build a team that is competitive and young, you know, but so I like that. I like Zeke even like, you know, 2 years, that's good for me.
Yeah. The productive struggle route is great. And I definitely have used it. You know, not all my rosters look the same. I like to try a little different things, and I got productive struggle rosters. I got some rebuild rosters, and I got some, you know, some win now, but I do prefer the balance of having some, you know, some mixture of youth and some veterans. There's a lot of, you know, last two rounds have been a lot of rookies, and you know, I really like, you know, like you know, over here, you know, Garrett Wilson over Zeke, you know, Garrett Wilson behind Treylon Burks, you know, I got Garrett Wilson still as my one.
Yeah, Debbie Dirtbag mentioned that Garrett Wilson was too low. There's definitely at least three guys on this list who I would take Garrett Wilson over, at least in this round. But again, sure, that might be me being a homer.
Garrett Wilson crossed my mind. I just didn't pick him.
Yep.
So
there were a couple options in a couple of these rounds. Well, speaking of that, let's look at the sixth round. We have Mike Evans, Amon-Ra, TJ Hockenson, CEH, Jameson Williams, Chris Olave, followed by Dak Prescott, Jerry Jeudy, Devonta Smith, Mike Williams, Elijah Moore, and Michael Carter. Oof. Who's too high? Jeremy?
I went with TJ Hockenson. I think I know he came out as a prolific type of pass catching tight end, kind of all around guy. We just haven't really seen it yet. And in a position that struggles for production, he's been a tight end one, but I mean, it's pretty easy to do that. And he hasn't really pushed towards that top tier type player. And now you're adding in Jameson Williams. You're adding in DJ Chark. Amon-Ra St. Brown broke out last year. They still have Josh Reynolds. They still have DeAndre Swift if he stays healthy. Jamal Williams, all with Jared Goff at the helm. I feel like the ship has sailed on TJ Hockenson for being a top three tight end. I think he's still a tight end one and probably will be perennially. But you're taking him over like Jameson Williams, Olave, Jerry Jeudy, like Devontae Smith, Mike Williams, you know, like you're reaching on positional scarcity here. And I don't love it. I think he's a little high for me.
Who's too high for you, Dave?
Michael Carter. I feel like this is a stud. Like this is a value card. I would, you know, love this round. I want almost every player in this round, but Michael Carter stands out to me as someone where I just would not want him at all over any of these guys. I know he's the last guy of this round, but I just, no thanks. Breece Hall, the way they use everything. I mean, yeah, no thanks.
Yeah, I have to think some people might have, in this ADP, might not have known that Breece Hall got drafted there because he's definitely falling back. For me, my quandary with the too high player that there's three Detroit Lion weapons in the sixth round. I mean, first of all, and I'm not just saying that to be mean to Detroit, the Jets have way too many guys in these first few rounds as well. But looking at those three Detroit guys, they can't all be worthy here. If I'm picking somebody, I'm picking Amon-Ra as the guy who doesn't make it. He put up a lot of numbers when there were injuries. I think he's still going to get some decent target share, but I don't think he's as talented as the players around him. And I think he's going to see those numbers drop. And I think as soon as he doesn't see that huge percentage of targets, I think you're going to see his production fall.
Yeah, especially if Chark returns to form, like, and Jameson Williams comes back healthy, St. Brown could see some hurt.
Yeah. Now, who is too low on this list, Dave?
Jameson Williams. You know, we talked earlier about Treylon Burks. Jameson Williams is not going to drop below Treylon Burks because of the appearance of a better landing spot. Williams is a stud. The upside is just tremendous, and to get him here, I'm all over him. And Ryan's over there. A lot of us called St. Brown. Jeremy and I definitely a big St. Brown fan. So I think St. Brown and Williams are going to be the future of that offense. And I don't think Jared Goff is going to be the future of that offense.
Yeah. I think he is for a little bit. They're going to be the problem is they got too good too fast. I think they're going to be out of the quarterback run this year unless they make some trades to get up high. But we'll Jerry Judy's too high for me to make the transition, not to take it from you. But I think Jerry Jeudy should be a little bit higher, a guy that was a top of the class type wide receiver. Just a couple of years ago when he came out, we didn't love the landing spot because of the quarterback position and everything else. Now he's got a good quarterback coming off an injury. I feel like he could be that Tyler Lockett-like role, and we all know how Russ liked Tyler Lockett there. We've seen Russ produce a lot of high-end talent between DK Metcalf and Lockett while he was there. And, I mean, you're getting them this deep after guys like we'd mentioned, Chris Olave, big question mark. Amon-Ra St. Brown. Like, if you offered me a trade St. Brown for Jerry Jeudy, I'd be smashing that Jerry Jeudy side. Like, that's just Devontae Smith, is, like, there. Like, I really think that Jerry Jeudy is a little bit low for people here in the sixth. Good value, but.
Yeah, I'm on the same way. Jerry Jeudy, to me, is way too low on this list. You talk about Russell Wilson is considered one of the better quarterbacks in this league, and this is his wide receiver number one. It's either him or Sutton. And Wilson has shown he can support two solid wide receivers. I would definitely like Jeudy over CEH, over Hockenson.
Yeah, I just couldn't imagine coming home from the market and the 12 of us are standing there and the one guy's got Michael Carter to show off and we got Jerry Jeudy and Devonta Smith and Chris Olave and Jameson Williams. It just stands out. It just really does.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a surprising Michael Carter appearance on that list. All right, let's look at round seven. Round seven, we see Bateman and Sanders, followed by Deshaun Watson, Dallas Goedert, Damian Harris, and D-Hop, followed by Tony Pollard, Dalton Schultz, James Cook, Rashad Penny, Brandon Cooks, and Cortland Sutton, the aforementioned. Dave, who is too high on this list?
Damian Harris. Damian Harris is another one that is a high touchdown guy from last year that is a sell high. They brought in not only one but two running backs. He also has Ramondre Stevenson in that backfield. It's also the New England backfield. So I would sell if I had any shares, but I just don't. I'm not a big fan of Damian Harris. In the seventh round, it's not – but there's still, you look at the board and you look at guys like James Cook and Cortland Sutton and other guys, and I'm just like, he's too high.
Jeremy?
I went with another running back. However, not Damian Harris. I went with Rashad Penny. I think that ship has sailed. I know he did well at the end of the season last year when he finally was able to stay healthy. And not to bring in the offseason hype, but, he's already got a hamstring injury. So, I think Kenneth Walker's good enough to really cut into Rashad Penny here. And you're going after guys, he's not even young anymore. Penny's up in age now. He's just never, you've hardly seen him because he's been injured. So around guys like James Cook or even Damian Harris or Miles Sanders, Tony Pollard, like the other running backs in this group here, he's obviously the worst one. And it just seems like, to me, he's just a little bit too high on an offense that's just not going to be that good. So, and then in a year or two when they get good, like, he's probably not going to be there. So I'm out on him. I think this is just way too high in the seventh.
Yep.
Yeah, it's amazing going from the sixth round where we're saying how everybody was like somebody we would like on our team, and I look at this round and I'm like, man, like, I want two picks in the sixth and you can keep my seventh. I'd rather get out of this round. I think James Cook is too high. I think rookie fever is more contagious than monkeypox right now. I think he's a complimentary back. I don't think he's getting – I don't know. I think everybody just needs to relax on James Cook. People have lost their goddamn minds.
or they need to keep losing them.
Either way, but pick a lane and stay in it. But yeah, I wouldn't.
Here's the question: would you trade if you get the pick? You need a running back. Would you trade that pick, that 106 or 107, to get Travis Etienne over James Cook?
I mean, you'd probably have to. I mean, I don't know. I'm torn. I can see this is being slightly homer. I've seen Cook go
as high as 102.
I know, and I'm seeing like a slight homerishness to this, but like I can see a path where James Cook takes over that backfield and could be an RB1 in a year or two. I mean, I know he's a little bit older. I know he's not uber talented, but like, I mean, we're talking about Devin Singletary and Zach Moss. Like, we're not talking about like even Rashad Penny good, you know, like there's not any real talent there. And I know Josh Allen's there, but the Bills really wanted to bring him in as a pass catching back. And I think they're going to use him a lot more than we think. And I know they want to run the ball more, and the Bills are very evident in rotating running backs. And they're not been happy with Zach Moss, and they haven't been totally happy with Devin Singletary. So like, there's a path for James Cook to become a very good value, even at 1.7. But you also could have a very easily coin flip where he becomes what JJ had mentioned. You know, he's just a complimentary back and you kind of overpaid by a lot. So he's very polarizing in that way. And I can see both. I think personally for me, I think he's good in the seventh, like maybe a touch high, but like, I feel like he's not the worst in this group that people would be reaching on.
Out of this group, I agree with you. It's not a great group. I just don't know. I think Josh Allen is the RB1 on that team, and he's going to vulture all those touchdowns. I mean, I hope he changes so he can have a longer career.
That's what I mean. And they preach they want to do that, but they've been saying that for like 2 years now, and they still just keep using them in like quarterback sweeps. So like, if Cook comes in, he performs well, I can see a route. I'm just saying.
Hey, I'd be happy to see it happen. I just don't believe it's going to. Who is too low in this round?
Yeah, Ryan said it. It's Rashad Bateman. It's Bateman season. Check your calendars. He's in the seventh round. It's a steal. I just was in a league, and I didn't want to miss him. So I just took Bateman at the 703. I was like, you know, I'm not going to miss my chance on getting Bateman. Luckily Judy came back around. I got Judy in the eighth. Super flex.
Oh.
But yeah, Bateman is a huge beneficiary of the Marquise Brown trade. Last year, I'm going to write that off. And he's another person that I'm targeting. If I have a late round pick and I want to, somebody has rookie fever, I'll trade it off and get Bateman. I'm a big fan of doing that. Just take advantage of the hype and go get yourself some Bateman.
Jeremy?
I like Rashad Bateman a lot. Just going to say that. But I'm going to go with Deshaun Watson. Again, it's kind of that thing that I pushed a little bit earlier. I think even in one quarterback should be valued a touch higher than they are at the moment. And I know you're going to possibly miss a whole year or 6, 8, 10 games this year. You also might only miss 3. I mean, we don't know what that suspension is going to be. Deshaun Watson's proven that he can be a top 5 fantasy quarterback, and you're getting him in the 7th round. Like we mentioned earlier, like after the top 12, it kind of falls off, and he's top 5, and you're getting up here after guys like Dak Prescott, you know, stuff like that. Like, I think he should be definitely ahead of Dak Prescott, in my opinion. So even on Cleveland, you know, they can definitely change their more run heavy team with now a capable, more capable NFL quarterback, I should say.
Yeah, and I think Cortland Sutton is low. I mean, everything I said about Judy, I'll say again about Sutton, right? Wilson, top flight quarterback, can support 2 wide receivers. One of them has to be the wide receiver 1. I think you could probably take Sutton a little bit earlier, especially with some of those guys we've talked about in this round who were not excited about. Well, let's take a look at round 8. Let's go a little bit quicker here, gentlemen. Jeremy, who are you too high on?
They are too high on Damian Pierce, I think. I didn't see it at Florida. I didn't like him in the tape and stuff that I watched. I know a lot of people did. A lot of people that I respect also think that he was really good. I don't love it. He couldn't beat out LaMichael Perine and some others there in Florida for like a overall lead role. And I know the argument is, oh, he's only got to beat out Marlon Mack and Rex Burkhead, but like he also didn't have, well, Michael Pirine was barely on the Jets roster. So let's be real. I feel like I know that everybody's anticipating him to be the lead guy. I just don't know if he's really going to be, you know, when you're paying an eighth round. So a little too high for me.
It's Christian Watson for me. You know, again, we're getting later on, so you're not having to pay a premium. But there's those other guys, and I have my concerns with Watson, you know, and seeing some of the guys that are in this round. I just am much more comfortable taking them over, you know, over him.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. That was my choice. I've seen those size speed freaks that everybody talks about. Remember the Jets drafted Stephen Hill. Look at their RAS scores. The same player, except Stephen Hill faced players who are going to play in the NFL. Christian Watson has not. I'm not buying Christian Watson at all. Who is too low in this round, Jeremy?
I got the same. I'm going to go with Marquise Brown.
Yep.
I think that in Arizona, I mean, you're going to be missing DeAndre Hopkins for six games. On top of that, Hopkins had his injury issues last year, getting up there in age. I think that in a new offense, it's a little bit more predicated to a pass game on a quarterback that can definitely stretch the field and throw it about as far as you need him to throw it. Marquise Brown could be in for a huge workload, and even for a couple of years, it's still that he's not that old and he's a good burner. I think he's got that field stretching ability. Someone I had mentioned something about Cooks the other day. Someone said, oh, Marquise Brown is kind of like the Cooks mold, and I could totally get behind that. You know, he might be a constant kind of RB or wide receiver two for you once he gets up in age, but I think this year he could even be a one. So getting him real late here.
Dave?
Yeah, same one. Marquise Brown, he goes from, you know, he goes from a high, you know, high rushing volume team to a high passing volume team and a high pace offense. Their goal is to have the most plays. You know, they run the ball a lot in Arizona, but they just run so many plays. And they're trying to, you know, really kind of, you know, the Ravens are trying to run the clock out, and the Arizona Cardinals don't care about that. They just want to put more points on the board. And he's going to get, you know, he's going to get a piece of a much bigger pie in Arizona. And then his competition right now is Rondale Moore, A.J. Green, and Antoine Wesley for the first 6 weeks. I know they have Zach Ertz and Trey McBride, but they're working on an extension possibly for Hollywood. They paid a lot for him. I doubt they pay that much draft capital and not extend him. They're also trying to make Kyler Murray happy. I love this move. And Marquise Brown, the eighth, I think when we get closer to the season, he'll be in the sixth.
Yeah, I think Allen Robinson is too low. I know he had a bad year last year, but he's going to a much improved offense on a much improved quarterback. Best quarterback he's probably ever played with in his entire career. I mean, he's had a history of terrible quarterbacks throwing in the ball.
Yep.
I don't think he forgot how to play last year. I just think that was a terrible Bears team. I'm very excited to see what he can do with Kupp kind of filling in, you know, that other wide receiver to realm. I think Allen Robinson's going to have a fantastic year. Let's look at round nine, gentlemen. This is where it gets a little bit dicey. Jeremy, who's too high?
I have Ramondre Stevenson. I'm still not buying into it. I didn't like him that much last year. I mean, you know, he kind of balled out there for a little bit, but the Patriots offensive line's really good. I don't think that was necessarily Ramondre Stevenson being super great. And we just have always seen the New England Patriots just rotate running backs. Again, Dave mentioned it earlier with Damian Harris. They brought in two more guys. Pierre Strong's a speed guy, so he can definitely has a different attributes than Stevenson. And Kevin Harris, I think, is a better running back than Stevenson. Kind of plays the same way. So I think that Stevenson might be in some trouble. I know he started in the doghouse last year, so, I mean, who even knows how much Bill likes him? I think they went to him with necessity because of injuries. So I think he's getting a little bit overdrafted here. Not crazy, because you're kind of in that committee running back area, but, like, I just don't like him. I think Dynasty, I just feel like it's too high. I don't think he's going to have that big of a role.
Yeah, I've been trying to move the few shares I have of Stevenson. Dave, who's too high?
Yeah, and when Brandon Bolden has to get hurt for you to get playing time, that's a problem. Speaking of committee backfields, Chase Edmonds is just too high. I'm not really interested in anybody in the Miami backfield, and there's still some very, very quality players going in the ninth round. Chase Edmonds, even if you got something this year, it's not worth me taking him over George Pickens or Rashad White or any of the guys we're about to mention in round 10.
Yeah, I same first name for me. I went with Chase Claypool. I mean, the team drafted his replacement and then had him announce it. I mean, that's some cold shut your mouth. Like that's kind of mean to make him announce that pick. So I don't get the love. I don't like Chase Claypool. He's had like one great game and a bunch of meh. So I'm out on him. Who's too low, Dave?
Ah, let me see who I had here. I had Sky Moore as too low. I think Sky Moore is much closer to the guys that we mentioned before. I'd much rather him over Christian Watson. I think there's a very easy path for him to become the number one target getter out of the receiving room, minus Travis Kelce. And he's attached to Patrick Mahomes for the foreseeable future. So I like Sky Moore here, and I would take him. Yeah, much rather take him over some other guys on this list.
Jeremy.
I went with Brandon Ayuk. I'm not here to beat a drum that he's going to be wide receiver one. I do think that there's a path that he could be a nice career wide receiver three, squeaks into the wide receiver two ranks depending on the year. And especially if Trey Lance hits, I mean, Brandon Ayuk could be a great piece. I mean, he came on again at the end of the year last year. He came in into camp a little out of shape and was in the doghouse. But once that turned around, he finished last 2 years as wide receiver 35 in PPR scoring. Like, and you're getting him here. I think I counted it. I think he's like wide receiver almost close to 40. So he's kind of at his value, but I think he can squeak up a little bit higher into that 30 to 24 range. So I think you're getting a good value here out of him.
Yeah, and I went with Rashad White for everything that you all said before when we were talking about Leonard Fournette. I think Rashad White is a solid receiving option. I think he's a great runner. I think he has a lot of upside, and I would definitely take him before some of the guys, before Ramondre Stevenson. I would take him before Chase Edmonds.
I'd take him before Kareem Hunt, the first guy taking this round, you know?
Yep. So that's where I am on that. 10th round. We have Brian Robinson, Trevor Lawrence, Kadarius Toney, Christian Kirk, Justin Fields, James Robinson, Jahan Dotson, Alexander Mattison, David Bell, Tyler Algier, R. Rojo, and Tom Brady. Who's too high, Jeremy?
All of them. No. I went with Kadarius Toney. I know he had a couple good games. I know that a lot of people like him. I mean, he does some crazy separation. I mean, his routes are great. I mean, he's violent in the runs. He just can't really stay healthy. He kind of was I just never liked him that much out of Florida. I thought he was decent. I just don't see a ton of fantasy upside. And I just feel like you're kind of like guys here, you know, like I'd almost rather have Christian Kirk. You know, I'd rather have David Bell. I'd rather have Jahan Dotson. Some of the guys in the 11th, I'd almost rather have. So I just think that it's a little too rich for me.
Yeah, that was my pick as well for being too high. Dave, who do you think is too high?
Tyler Algier. I just think that there's, a lot of people are banking on him being the starter there, or at least being the sidekick to Cordarrelle Patterson. And I don't know if he takes Damian Williams. And all it's going to take is a cap casualty to put him away. And so I think he's being overdrafted based on, you know, position scarcity. And there's other guys, you know, on this board and on the next couple boards that I would much rather take over him. If I picked him, it would just be to hang him out there for trade bait.
Who's too low, Jeremy?
I went with Jahan Dotson. I know he's not a huge name that people love. I know he's a little undersized, but he's kind of got that Deontay Johnson mold. He's a real good route runner. He's very talented. Some of the catches that he made at Penn State were crazy. And he just had terrible quarterback play. And, I mean, I know Carson Wentz isn't great, but at least he's an NFL quarterback, unlike the ones that were at Penn State. So I'm excited to see what he can do playing sidekick to Terry McLaurin. I think he would definitely out-exceed this ADP for sure.
I went with Jahan Dotson as well, and he was a first round pick. So you got to think draft capital plays something into it. Dave, who do you think is too low?
Three for three, Jahan Dotson, sticky hands, great route runner. Just really, really like the value that you can get him in your rookie drafts. And I really like the value you can get him here. I'm a big fan.
Now, Jeremy, you just posted an article that you wrote, and you like Ronald Jones as a sleeper. Do you want to take a minute to?
Yeah, I mean, I honestly like Algier and Ronald Jones kind of as sleepers in kind of this year. I really think it's a lot closer than people think with CEH and Ronald Jones. All draft capital aside, all original teams, all money thrown away. I mean, the stats are really close, and if you pull up some of the main categories, I had a tweet just before we came on here. Ronald Jones really wins five of the seven main categories that I look at in running backs, like, over the last 2 years. So, like, I really think Kansas City doesn't love CEH. I feel like they kind of are bringing these guys into town. I mean, Darrell Williams almost beat him out pretty much last year in the playoffs. I mean, they've tried Jerick McKinnon. Like, they just aren't loving what they're getting from CEH. And even if Ronald Jones comes in and he gets first, second down work, CH struggled on the goal line. Ronald Jones could take that work away from him like Darrell Williams did. We saw Darrell Williams and CEH have decent years last year. Darrell Williams was much higher, almost in the mid-RB2 range. And Ronald Jones could easily take that, I think, from CEH. He's a little bit more explosive. He's a better runner, I think. CH definitely has him in the pass game. So I could see a world where they coexist as wide or like running back twos. So I just think, and again, here in the 10th round, I mean, you're getting them after guys like Alexander Mattinson, who's only an injury handcuff, like James Robinson, who could be the same way, Brian Robinson, who's probably hardly going to play all that much. You know what I mean? Like, I just really think there's some value here that you could have for Ronald Jones, because so many people are just down on him. And I still think there's talent there. I'm not going to say he's going to be an RB1. I just think that he could easily squeak into that RB2, RB3 high-end range that you can use as a flex player weekly. You know, like, I'm not saying he's going to be great, but I do think that there's still value there that people are overlooking.
And I will second that for Ronald Jones. One thing J.J. Zacharyson talked about on things that he learned from 2021 was, you know, when you get the muddled backfields, take the cheaper guy. And so when everyone was drafting Chase Edmonds last year, I was getting James Conner. I wasn't getting James Conner in the 5th, 6th round. I was getting him late. When people were getting Ronald Jones last year, I was getting Leonard Fournette. I mean, you take the cheaper guy in these backfields, especially when they're attached to a high-powered offense. And if you're getting Ronald Jones in the 10th and he doesn't work out, whatever. But if it does, that's going to be a big payoff.
And that's what wins you leagues. Exactly. You can't mess up your early round picks, right? Like, but you're not going to win a league with early round picks. It's finding somebody like Rojo in the 10th that could put you over the top. Yeah. All right, 11th round. Who's too high, gentlemen? Dave.
I didn't put anybody. I just said no one.
Jeremy?
Fair. I went with Robert Woods. I think that we should pump the brakes a little bit on this drum. I understand he's kind of the quote-unquote top guy, but, I mean, they still have Westbrook Akina there. Treylon Burks is coming in. And Robert Woods is 30 years old. Coming off an ACL injury, who's a very good pass blocker that's now on a run-heavy team, kind of similar to what he was in Los Angeles, with a worse quarterback, you could definitely argue. I mean, Matt Stafford to Ryan Tannehill. And we saw Robert Woods kind of tail off at the beginning of last year. You know, he wasn't the same Robert Woods that he was a couple of years ago. And something that I posted earlier, too, like 30 years old. I mean, we didn't even have a top, 80? I think it was a top 30 wide receiver last year that was like in their 30s, and that was just receiving yards, not even fantasy points.
It was AJ Green.
Yeah, and it was AJ Green was the guy who was close. Like, I just don't think Robert Woods really returns what you can get here. I'd rather have John Metchie. I'd rather have even Tyler Lockett, you know, Alec Pierce. Most of these guys here I'd take before Robert Woods. I know there's going to be some volume. I just don't think that there's going to be production with that volume.
Yeah, and for me, I think Patterson is too high here, even in the 11th. You know, he really started off great last year. First nine games, 5.4 targets a game. That's fantastic. That second half of the year, though, he finished with, what, under 3 targets a game over the last 7 games? They clearly moved away from him. I don't know why. Maybe they'll go back there, but I want the first half Patterson, and I don't think that's what we're going to get this year. I think we're getting
some. I think he got a hot streak, and every player does. And I mean, he kind of returned to what he was in years past at the end, tail half of that season. And this is why I like Tyler Allgeier, aside from what David said, at least for a one-year rental in Tyler Allgeier, because I think he could get replaced next year. But, I mean, he's competing with Cordarrelle Patterson, who really tailed off, and Damian Williams is over 30. Like, I can see a path where Cordarrelle Patterson gets replaced with Allgeier or even Damian Williams, you know, and Patterson just returns to that kind of hybrid, gets a couple touches here or there, no real fantasy value. So I agree with you there, JJ.
And who's too low? Dave?
I got Zamir White. Kind of just going back to the Josh Jacobs thing.
Yep.
Zamir White could easily be the starting running back next year. And so you're getting him here not only as the handcuff to Josh Jacobs, but possibly the, you know, the next guy. So in the 11th round, I like the value here. You know, I just think he's a talented back that can – he can catch the ball. They just didn't have him do it a lot in Georgia because James Cook's so good at it.
Jeremy, who's too low?
I want Michael Gallup. This is a huge injury discount, I think. When I saw that he was in the 11th round, I was kind of like, wow, this is really surprising. A guy that's proven that he can play in the league in a high-powered offense that was putting up crazy numbers aside from his injury with Cooper and Lamb there. Now it's going to be Lamb and Gallup into the season and next year. And so forth. I like Jalen Tolbert, but I still think Gallup's a better wide receiver. And I think you're getting a screaming deal here for Michael Gallup if you can get him in the 11th.
Yeah, I went with Michael Gallup too, Jeremy. Last time he had 100 targets, he put up 173 PPR points. I'll take 173 PPR points in the 11th round. All right, let's look at the 12th and final round. Jeremy, who's too high?
I went with Kyren Williams. I know there was a lot of love pre-draft, and then he had his kind of fault there with the combine, etc. I just still – the Rams is a really bad landing spot, I think. I know Daryl Henderson's kind of on his way out, and Cam Akers, we had the worry with the Achilles, but I just don't see a role for Kyren Williams to be, like, super fantasy viable. Like, I'd rather take my stab at somebody else up in this range. I just – I'd rather – be wrong on Kyren Williams than be right, I guess, here.
Dave?
Yeah, too high would be Noah Fant for me. You know, with tight ends, you know, you really need the tight end to be the second guy on the offense as far as targets. It does help when it's a good offense, and he's on a bad offense, and he's at least the third option. And he's got Drew Locke at quarterback, possibly an upgrade to Baker Mayfield. So just not interested, no fan. I'd rather get a tight end, a middle round tight, you know, an earlier tight end, or take a later tight end.
I'm going to stick with tight ends. I'm out on Irv Smith. I heard the drum beating the past 2 years. And I know Jeremy actually is going to follow me up on this
keep
one.
Keep it beaten.
And I'm done. It's over, Johnny. It's over. Jeremy, who's too low, though?
You know, I still will beat the drum for Irv Smith. I honestly like Noah Fant and Irv Smith here, to be honest. I feel like Irv Smith is now, again, almost like David said, that second option. I mean, Adam Thielen is still there. Again, a guy that missed a lot of time, up in age. Kind of, I think you could see a decline. But it's Justin Jefferson. I know they used Dalvin Cook, but again, another guy up in age. And Irv Smith, I think, could see and command some targets. We saw Tyler Conklin be very viable weekly. And Irv Smith is a much better athlete than Tyler Conklin. So I still believe in it. And especially if you're going to go with that zero tight end strategy, I'm fine with Irv Smith here because he's still young enough that he's going to have some production from year on and year out here. And I'm fine even with Noah Fant. I know Dave's a little bit out on him, but next year Seattle's going to be bad enough that they're going to end up with probably Bryce Young or CJ Stroud. And that offense is going to be a whole hell of a lot better just purely from that. And they're going to probably still have DK there. They're still going to – Lockett might be gone. But, like, there's going to be some talent around there, and I think that offense will be drastically improved. So, for Dynasty, I'm kind of still in on Fant too. So, I just want to put that out there.
Dave, who are you too low on? Or who's too low?
Yeah, and this would be a good poll suggestion right here. Cole Kmet, Noah Fant, or Irv Smith in 12th. Who you taking? I went with Alan Lazard. I know that's not the sexiest pick, but he is potentially the number one receiver for the Green Bay Packers. And I just, you know, we've seen the rookie stats with what Aaron Rodgers has done with rookies before. And Alan Lazard has had some fantasy-relevant production. If he was able to stay healthy, it would have been even better last year. But when he was on the field, he played well. And Robert Tonyan's coming off of an ACL injury. Alan Lazard's their best run blocking receiver, which means he'll probably get 99% of the snaps. I mean, he's not going to leave the field unless he's hurt. So I see him getting over 100 targets, and in the 12th round, I'll take it.
I went with Cole Kmet. He had 93 targets on that team last year. That team was terrible. They added very little firepower to that offense, unless you are a big Velus Jones guy. Even if he sees a modest improvement in touchdowns from 0 to 3, modest, right? He could be in line for a top 6 tight end season. And I think getting him this late, I'll take that. I'll take 93 targets to my tight end any day.
If he could convert on some red zone targets, he would be better.
It would help, but let's just say it wasn't a great offense last year. No, there wasn't a lot of clicking going on.
But fun fact, he was the only guy in the top 50 in red zone targets that didn't score a touchdown.
Well, that's something to be proud of.
Positive regression.
it's only inevitable, right, at this point.
Something science. Is it's bound science. To happen, and we're going to manifest it. Well, gentlemen, that was a long hour, 20 minutes. It is time for tags, where we let the riders know any final thoughts we have and where they can find us and what we're working on. Jeremy.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at PopesFFH, always willing to answer questions, always putting as much info out as I can that I find. Writing work is at FTN and Sports Gambling Podcast, some stuff at Yards Per as well.
Dave.
At Dynasty Dorks, all one word. You can get me on Instagram, you can get me on TikTok, Twitter is where I'm mainly at. And Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all that stuff. Got a show tomorrow. We're doing a Super Flex rookie mock draft.
A man of the people. Special thanks to Dave for helping me to produce the show. Thank you to Jeremy for joining us tonight. This was great. First time I've ever potted with you. I'm an English teacher. I can create words.
I'm not an English teacher and I create words.
I think mine are more official though.
Yeah, mine is just poor spelling. Mine would be you yelling at me because I can't spell. That's what it would be.
I might yell. You can find me on Twitter at JJWenner. Be sure to check out Gridiron Ratings Draft Guide, available at our site, gridironratings.com. Check out Getting Defensive tomorrow at 8 p.m., where Gary, B-Jack, and myself will be start ranking our top 24 rookie IDP players. And tune in next week when we welcome high-stakes player Doug Orth to the pod to discuss trade strategy and some good trade targets. So from all of us to all of you, be safe, be well, and remember, never say anything to cut a meeting short. Oh, I said it wrong. Boat drinks, my friends. Boat drinks.